Welcome to the Hallelujah House, where we focus on preparing the heart, home, and harvest. In this series of podcasts, we are learning what it means to abide in Christ and how to hear the voice of God. My name is Tammy Carter Adams, and I will be your host. I'm so glad you stopped by. Come on in. Good morning. We're on session 10 today and on page 25 in your workbook. And Barbie, could you open us up in prayer?
Sure. Dear Lord, we are so humbled to be here, and we thank you for today. We thank you for this beautiful cooler weather we're having here in Georgia. And Lord, I pray for everyone at this table and everybody that's listening on the podcast that you would open our ears and give us spiritual ears to hear what you have to teach us today, Lord. We thank you that we've been learning how to abide in you, God, and we pray that you would continue to teach us and to transform our lives so that other people could come to know you and have the relationship that we are able to enjoy with you, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us, for forgiving us, and for coming into our lives and for your Holy Spirit to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. What is the role of the Spirit in this process? From the following verses, what is the specific role of the Spirit in speaking to us and leading our steps? Thus, what is our role in that? And there's so many scriptures here. And so what we're going to do on this session is we are going to go through two of these scriptures because we're on limited time. But we want you to, as the listeners, to take the time to go through all of them. We already have. But I hope you will go through all of them in your own time after the close of this session, that you'll spend the time doing all the scriptures. Okay, so Tracy, can you read John 16:11-15?
And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you all into the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Okay, so what is the Spirit's role, basically, is what... We talked about this before. It's his job, right? The Spirit's job to guide us into that truth. Mm-hmm. And that we're not supposed to get anxious about not understanding what we're reading. If God is leading you to a verse and you just kind of know that verse is kind of sticking out to you, but you don't really understand why, that the Holy Spirit's job is to make sure you understand. And our job is just to abide in it, okay? Just to stay in that verse and pray over it and ask God to give you understanding, and the Father will speak it to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will put it in a language we can understand. But it is God's responsibility to make sure we get it. Our responsibility is just to be the branch, as we talked before, and to stay on that passage of scripture. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
It is.
So it takes the pressure off, right?
Everything that he does for us, we think that we have more control and more freedom, but he shows us that whatever he does for us is actually what gives us more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that dichotomy of, you know, spiritual versus physical.
Exactly, exactly. So Liz, can you read John 6?
Yes. Okay, so John 6:63 says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." And then verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And then chapter 17, verse 3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." I think what's so awesome about these verses is talking about how his word is life. Mm-hmm. It is life. Mm-hmm. And that it kind of correlates with Hebrews 4:12 that says the word of God is alive and active. mm-hmm. and it divides and it penetrates and it judges and it heals. It's a, like Tammy and I were just talking, and I'm like, this book is not a book. This is a sacred living work of God. It is alive and active. We see the letters in red and black on these white pages. But if we can ask the Lord, give us eyes to see that this is really your word, and your word is life. It, when I'm hurting, it will comfort me. When I am broken, it will heal me. When I am desperate, it will find me in a place of peace and rest. It'll bring me to that, like Jesus says, he tends his sheep in pastures. It'll put me in a place of peace and rest. It is real. It's not a book written by men alone who were faulty and human. These men were the pen writers, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it is a live and active word. And I love that. I love mm-hmm. that. This mm-hmm. is not some ordinary book.
And I love this other scripture you referred to where it talks about the scripture being sharper than a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It is such a picture of, he gives us such good pictures to, you know, analogies mm-hmm. to really understand how that it divides truth from what's false. You know, it just slices right through. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it can be used as a weapon against the enemy if you're under attack, you know, that he gives you everything in this book, words to use against that, to speak out against.
Yes.
When you feel anxiety
and you don't
stress
mean.
And you are you feeling like, you know, you're nothing, you're not yeah. enough, you're not enough man, you're not enough woman. I think that's one of the biggest deceptions out yeah. there. You were created this way.
Right.
This book has everything you need to speak out against that. And that's Satan talking to you
Absolutely.
In your ear. And you need to fight that.
Yeah. Well, it's called the sword of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Except it's not a sword that we think like this long thing. They actually say the sword of the Spirit with that armor of God is more like a dagger.
Yeah.
And so you got to get up close and personal sometimes with that mm-hmm. enemy that you're fighting.
Yep.
And use it. Mm-hmm. Requires personal usage.
Yeah.
And the Bible isn't a weapon that you beat someone over the head with either. Right. That's exactly not the kind right. of weapon that it is. Yeah, it's what's inside.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so the words of the Bible give you eternal life, and they're life-giving. And in that life, there's freedom. All right, I think that was...
It's a recurring theme.
It is, it's a recurring theme, because there's just so much bondage out there. All right, on the following page, on page 26... you will see two passages of scriptures that you're going to take some time today to use the abiding practice on page 20. There are instructions on page 20 that we've already gone over. And I want you to take these two passages, spend some time going over them, and you don't have to do it all in one day. You can take your time about it and journal them and pick out what scripture what verse out of this passage speaks to you, and journal it and cross-reference and journal, and just journal what you think God is telling you and pray over it. And it could be that God is going to change your mind on what you think he's speaking to you, and that is fine. It's a process. So just camp out in these scriptures for a little bit, and we will meet you back here for session 11. Okay, so now we're on session 11 and on page 27 in your workbook, and we're going to start with what does the Father require as we grow in our abiding? So, Liz, can you pray for us?
Daddy, we just come before you today, and we thank you for the opportunity and the freedom we have still in this country to open up your word. And even across the world, Lord, that we have that freedom. For the most part, God, to have your word, open it up, and get the words of life. Lord, I just lift up those this morning that are in this session with us. And God, they need to hear from you. They are desperate to that your word would speak to them very distinctly and clearly about things that they're going through, Lord. Some of them are praying about issues, God, they've been praying for years, and they haven't seen any results from that, any answer. But God, we know that you are working in the unseen. Even when we don't see you, we know that you're working, and you will never stop. So we thank you for that, God. Use this section today to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, from the following verses, define what is required, why is it required, how does it happen, and what is God's role, and what is our role in this? So once again, we're not going to do all the scriptures, but I hope you will, once we finish this session, go back and complete the scriptures that we do not cover, because we're just on a time restraint today. Prem, we're going to start with the second one. And Prem, can you read Hebrews 11:6?
Yes. And it is possible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him... Sorry, let me start over.
Okay.
And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him.
So we see that you have to have faith to please God, and we must understand that our faith is something that's going to be worked out, and it's something that we don't have to work and try and increase our faith. God will do that for us. All we need to do is abide. Spend time with him, spend time in his word, getting to know who God is in prayer and communicating with him. But it does require faith to please God. And going back to you, Prem.
Yeah, I saw that personally just by when I said previously that when I was trying to get pregnant with my third child, it just wasn't happening, and I thought I was doing everything I needed to do, but once I verbally communicated and spoke to God that these are my desires, and I said, if you can make Mary pregnant, you can make me pregnant. And the next day, I got a positive pregnancy test, and that was something that I can share with people about having faith in God and what it can do for you.
Mm-hmm. And you had that, she had that little mustard seed of faith from Mary's story. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. You know, you hear somebody's story of faith, and then you grab onto that faith that they have in their story, and you say, well, if you could do that, then you can do this in my life.
Yeah.
And then God says, oh, I see her faith. And you pleased God, and because you had faith in his ability, I believe he was showing you. And that's how he grows your faith. He blessed her. Her faith grew. And that's exactly the process.
Yeah.
I think it's really important that mustard seed is so important, because I feel like you get intimidated that you have to just have this tremendous amount of faith and believe everything and know everything. And it just takes a little mustard seed.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look what a mustard seed looks like.
It's tiny, tiny. Yeah. Yeah. And God says that's all it takes. Yeah. He said he can take your mustard seed.
Right.
Okay, so let's move on. Tracy, can you read Hebrews 12, 1 through 2?
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. The right hand of the throne of God, rather.
So in that we see that God is the perfecter of our faith. So that takes the pressure off again. That's freedom. You know, you're not bound to, oh, you must have this monstrous amount of faith. Not at all. He's the perfecter of our faith. And it's a gift. It's a gift he gives us.
I think it's so hard. We're so used to having to figure things out, having to work on it ourselves, and we have a sense of pride a lot of times. I know that, you know, I do. And as God, just releasing that to God and letting him be the one that's doing it is really humbling, honestly, you know, in a way. It's not having, not being able to say, I did this.
Yes.
You can't say, I did
it. You can't claim anything.
You can't claim responsibility for what you did when it was so good. Once God does it in you, then, you know, you give him the glory, you give him the credit, and he does such a better job at it than I could ever do.
Yeah, exactly.
One of my favorite verses is 2 Timothy 2:13, and it says, man, I love this verse. This was a discovery. I've known it for a long time, but it really became life to me back in 2018. And it says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. And so that perfecting of our faith even means when we're faithless, like when we don't even have a mustard seed. Like when we've said, no, I've pulverized that seed. It's dust and the wind has blown it away. Like it doesn't even exist. I have no faith right now whatsoever. He says, when you are unfaithful, I'm going to be faithful because that's who I am. And I've got you. I have you. And I love that.
That's so good. What is that? 2 Timothy?
2 Timothy 2:13.
Thanks.
Such a great verse.
Love that.
And then our role, so our role in this, when God gives you a word, a scripture, our role is just to camp out with him in that scripture. And he will test you to see if you believe it, the promise that he's given to you. He will test you. And if we fail the test because we start to worry or have anxiety or fear, then we're not to get discouraged, but just understand that we need more time with him and to continue camping out in that verse. And God will stay with you on it until you get it. You know, he's going to stay with you. That's the him being faithful. And that's the process. So, okay, so moving on. Liz, can you read Hebrews 3:15 through 19 on page 28?
Yeah. And I want to encourage those of you that are doing this study with us, also read verses 12 through 14. Those are powerful verses that really have a lot to do with this section. So read that. But it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who had heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt and with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief.
So they refused to believe. And normally when we first hear God's truths to us, sometimes it's difficult to accept. You know, sometimes it is difficult, especially if you're in a dark situation. But don't get to the point where you're refusing. That's a different attitude, you know. And God wants to bring you to faith. He wants to bring you to that promised land of faith, you know, through that promise. He wants to fulfill that in your life. So he wants you just to stay with him. Just continue to be receptive to him.
But let's bring that down to like where we live. Because we can look at the Israelites when they were in the wilderness and we can get so angry with them and mad at them. And we think, why? Why did they keep rebelling and getting mad at God? Look, he was right there. I think we talked about this. He was there in the pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night. He led them. He performed miracles. Why did they struggle? And then I'm like, wait a minute. I am so much like them. I do the same thing.
Absolutely.
God has worked in and so out true. Of my life, weaving his wondrous work of miracle and love and forgiveness and power in my life. And then I get so disappointed that he hasn't done something in a certain amount of time that I feel like he should do, that he promised me he would do. And then I get to a place where I just want to give up on him. And I get angry and I harden my heart. And guess what that does? Then I'm like, well, I'm done. And then I rebel. And it's like Richard says, we refuse to allow God to finish bringing them to that faith, that promise, that he's going to do what he said he will do. Mm-hmm. If it's not in our time frame, we get frustrated, and then we get angry, and we get let down, and then we accuse him of not being God. Well, you're not being good. I thought you were good. Mm-hmm. You're not good. Mm-hmm. You're not faithful. You lied. You know, I mean, we can really do that. And then what happens is that he allows us then to wander. If we rebel, then he lets us wander. And I know what it is to wander. I wandered in a very desolate, dark place away from God for a period of time that was ugly for my family to watch. And some of y'all in this room have children who you see wandering. Some of you listening have family members that are wandering in dark places, and they know better, but they're so despondent, and they're under the oppression of the enemy, and they're believing the lie that God is not good. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage you. You keep praying for them. Do not give up on them. As ugly as it looks, nothing is impossible with God, and he can turn it around in an instant, but it may take 7 years. He could turn it around in an instant, but it may take 20 years. He could turn it around in an instant, it may take 14 days. Mm-hmm. Don't quit praying for them and speaking words of life over them and speaking mm-hmm. truth to them. That's why I said read the verses ahead of that, because
why don't
it
you
says,
go ahead and read them?
Okay. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Mm. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original convictions firmly to the very end. And that is so important. When you get a hard heart and you're upset with God and you begin to turn away, the Bible says we are the body of Christ and we need to encourage that person. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. And if they're not listening, then you pray behind the scenes, because that's the best thing you can do is pray.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And don't
prayer's
give up.
Powerful.
Gosh, I love what you're saying, Liz. So such an encouragement. Even as a believer of, you know, many years, it's always encouraging. I remember when I was a new believer or just younger than I am, a lot younger, reading this story about the Israelites and exactly that, getting indignant. Mm-hmm. How could they do this? God just mm-hmm. took them out and all this stuff. And at different times, preachers would teach on it, and I would be like, gosh, those Israelites were rotten. Why did he continue to love them? And it wasn't until I got, you know, more mature in my faith that God just revealed to me, I'm that person. Mm-hmm. I am those Israelites. And,
yes.
And I am no different from them. But he showed me, because he would show me things in my life where I had total inconsistency, mm-hmm. where I had forgotten the day after he did something for me, the next day I was completely not even remembering that he had done it. Mm-hmm. And it's that utter and total dependence. And I think also being around other believers is so valuable, mm-hmm. because we don't see the reality of our own lives a lot of time. And God uses other believers. And what Tracy and I were talking about earlier today, it's so important to get around a community of people who know God and who love him and who want to grow together mm-hmm. because of this. You yeah. know, God can show us whatever he wants to show us, with or without anyone around us.
Yeah.
But it's just such an encouragement. And he does use people in our lives. And then when we go out and we're away from them and we're in other groups, mm-hmm. we remember those things and mm-hmm. it empowers us more mm-hmm. to share our faith and to share what he's doing in our lives. So thank you for sharing that mm-hmm. passage.
Yeah, something I've done is through my journey is like I prayed for something and I'm like, okay, keep on praying for it. I've written it down. I've, you know, talked to other people about it. And I'm like, okay, it's not happening. Maybe I'm not doing the right thing. And just kind of like forget about it. And it's like, oh, whatever. And then something else comes along, and then you look back at what you have prayed for, and you don't even realize it's been answered. And yes. You're like, oh.
Yeah, time goes by. About
that. Mm-hmm. Just maybe and not then, in the way that you wish.
Right, yeah. And then for me, when I'm scared or just when I fear something, that's when I'm gonna pray about it. I'm gonna journal it or something. And I'm like, man, that's like the only time I used to only just pray that time, you know? And I'm like, I shouldn't just do it only that time. Like, it's like, I can't just only ask when I'm scared. Like, so again, it's like growing in your faith. Yeah. You mm-hmm. realize that it's, God is answering those prayers, looking back at them, maybe mm-hmm. not in the way that you expected and maybe not in the time frame, right. but he is. And I think that like has helped me along my way to realize, like, going back on something and be like, okay, like I completely forgot about that. But yeah. that helped me realize that you have to have faith in, you always have to have faith in God, and you can't give up thinking that you're not doing the right thing, because that's what I always thought. I'm like, I don't have it in me. Like, I don't have what everyone else has. Like, I can't do this. Like, he's not going to speak to me. He's not going to answer mm-hmm. my prayers because I'm not doing what Tammy's doing. Like, you know? So it's like, it's amazing to see that. And like, I think you have to experience it yourself, but you mm-hmm. have to have faith. And
yeah. your walk is different. And your walk is different than mine. But you have the same Holy Spirit in you that's in me. Mm-hmm. You have the same amount of Holy Spirit in you as I have in me.
Right.
So it, you know, it's just all you have to do is abide, and God will increase your faith. He will grow your faith. And if you have a mustard seed of faith that gets you into God's Word, it takes a mustard seed to crack open your Bible, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, well, I'm going to see what this is about. That's the mustard seed right there. And then once you start reading the Word and he starts speaking to you, you will see your faith will grow. One thing I wanted to point out is the promised land today for us is the abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
That's, it was their promised land, our abundant life. And the Israelites too, we always always throw stones at the Israelites if they didn't get it. You know, they saw all these miracles and everything. We need to remember they didn't have the Holy Spirit.
No.
And we have the Holy Spirit guiding us and speaking to us directly. Yeah. They had to rely on a man.
They had it harder.
God, the prophet, to tell them what God was saying at that time.
True.
You know? Yeah. So.
And the other thing that Prim said that's great is, again, with the journaling. You know, Liz journals. Mm-hmm. You journal, Tammy?
Mm-hmm.
When you journal, and I'm taking your advice because I haven't been doing it. But when you journal, you can look back
mm-hmm.
and you can see on this date, I prayed this, and then God did this on this date.
Right.
And I have written some things down, but I want to get better at that, and I need to get better at that because I can see God weaving through my prayer life and my, you know, my daily life when I write things down mm-hmm. like that. Because you can't remember everything. Right. You can't remember everything, and you want to remember those things.
And I honestly believe there's supernatural power in writing Scripture. There's something about the act of writing it, I think it instills mm-hmm. in your brain more than just reading it. And that's why, you know, you should write the Scripture.
Yeah.
If the Scripture is speaking to you, write that down. Yeah. If you get a quickening in your heart when you read a Scripture and it's like, you know, that feeling that this is really about my situation,
yeah.
write it down in your journal. Mm-hmm. And that's how you know God is speaking to you. So we're going to move on to page 29, and we're only going to read one of the Romans 4, 17 through 21. Tracy, if you could read that as a review of Abraham's life.
As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives us life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised, what he had promised.
Okay. So we see that, I'm going to go through some points here with Abraham, that Abraham believed God. He makes things that are dead alive, the impossible to the possible. And he calls those things that do not exist into being, that nothing's too difficult for God. And he can change circumstances. So Abraham believed that, all about God. Abraham, it was contrary to hope, meaning this was not possible in the natural that Abraham was going, that Sarah would conceive. He believed in the hope and God's promise to him. He did not consider the fact that neither he nor Sarah were physically unable to have children after having reached old age, and he didn't waver at the promise through unbelief. Not that he did not struggle with unbelief, but rather that he stayed in the process to let God finish the process, to go to faith, and gave all the glory to God because he understood it was all God's work. Abraham was persuaded that God was fully able to perform what he said he would perform. And meaning that thus, note the key here, persuaded, thus not automatic, but God more than willing to persuade us that what he speaks he will do. So he felt God persuading him to believe him, okay? So it was God's process. It wasn't on Abraham, it was God. This only requires that we not quit on the process or leave it too early, rather that we stay with it until we are fully persuaded. So when God releases a promise to you in his word, stay on that, journal it. Stay on that promise until you are fully persuaded. It may not be that God has fulfilled that promise in your life, but all God wants you to do is be persuaded. And so if it takes a while and you got to stay in that word and you have to pray over that word with God and say, God, please help me, convince me that this will happen in my life. Mm-hmm. Then that's what you stay with until you are fully persuaded. And you can stand by and say, no, whenever naysayers come into your life and say, oh, that's impossible. Nothing's impossible. I was thinking of your hospital story, Tracy, when the doctors came in and said, you know, what did they say to you? And you said, you expressed verbally your faith in God and his healing power over your husband.
So my husband, a few years ago, spent 8 months in the ICU. He had a surgery that did not go as planned. And we went through many months in the ICU where he was close to death. And finally, one night, we got a phone call at home, and it was to tell us that there wasn't any time left, and mm-hmm. that we should go down with my two teenage sons at the time and say our final goodbyes. Mm-hmm. So my first instinct was to text my pastor and to call together two of my best friends to meet me there. And so we all arrived at the hospital together, and at that time the nurses called for the chaplain, you know, to administer, you know, last prayers and to be with the family during what they anticipated would be my husband's death. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, we got together by the bed and held hands and we prayed. And my kids had said the goodbyes and we were ready for this to happen. And that was our assumption, that he was going to mm-hmm. pass away. And so we held hands and we prayed. And at that moment, we felt the Holy Spirit in the room. Mm-hmm. And we had already been told by the doctor that a couple of things had to happen for him to survive. His oxygen levels had to go up. And he was bleeding out from a bleed that we could not locate. And so they said that even though he'd been bleeding for 5 days, that bleeding would have to stop now because mm-hmm. he just simply could not survive. Mm-hmm. And we prayed a prayer and we went through, each of us prayed and our pastor prayed. And at that time we felt the tangible Holy Spirit in the room. And the reason I say this is because every person in that room has separately recounted to me that feeling at the time. Mm-hmm. And so in my heart, even though the facts of the case didn't look like he was going to survive, I think at that time I knew mm-hmm. that he was going to survive and this was going to be a turning point. And so at that moment, we watched his machines and his oxygen level ticked up point by point by point. And within 1 hour, his oxygen levels were normal and the bleeding had stopped.
And even though for 5 days the doctors had furiously tried to locate and stop the bleed and had failed at doing so. And so at that time, you know, we stayed with my husband, my kids went home, and we were excited and we knew that God had moved. And I just, you know, and I felt in my spirit that this was the turning point. Mm-hmm. And so the next day, my kids had gone back to school, and I met with the ICU doctor, and the ICU doctor said to me, he said, "I know that you're excited, Tracy. I know that last night was a really big deal, and but I need to warn you, he's probably still going to die from this." And so at that point, I just turned around to him and I said to him, "If you believe that, you just do not get God." Mm-hmm. And guess who was proven right? Mm-hmm. Not the doctor. And I did have a very delightful time later on after we went into the hospital with my husband walking by my side, you know, that's to just show him how wrong he was. Mm-hmm. And so it was an amazing time in the life for me and my children. And we got to see in that moment why we go through bad things sometimes.
Yeah.
And think of the seed mm-hmm. that you planted with that doctor mm-hmm. and whoever else that
exactly.
was around.
It's like the Mary seed planted with Prem in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. the same thing.
And I was so yeah. cross with him. I was so irritated. It was not a happy conversation.
That's called righteous anger.
That's right. Okay. Mm. That's a great story.
It's
I love
so
that story.
Oh, God, it's just so
That's
good.
That's a great place to stop. But on this page, on page 29, was Abraham perfect in the process? And we're not going to read these verses, but remember that Abraham slept with Hagar.
Not so perfect.
He is not so perfect in the process of faith. And, you know, and that showed his, he should have said, "No, Sarah, you know, I'm not going to sleep with Hagar. I have faith God's going to make you pregnant." But he didn't, did he?
And well, that's, how many
and
would?
The world is still paying for that today, you know, that union there.
I just
gotta say that it's a good story, because how many men would say, "No, honey, I'm not gonna sleep with your friend, even though you want me to."
Oh my goodness.
Well, I hope at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 men would say that.
Yeah. Well, I hope that 5 women at this table wouldn't say, "Here, honey, have this woman."
No.
Yeah. That's so true.
Okay, so why then was he able to be spoken of as having great faith? God's called him as a man of having great faith, even though he made this terrible mistake in the middle of it.
Yeah, and look, you see down the road on his journey where he really fully trusted.
And taking his son up the mountain. Mm-hmm. And that was a true test of his faith right there.
Because mm-hmm. when he would fall... he would get back up,
That's
and he
exactly
would continue
right.
walking, and then he'd fall, and then by God's mercy, get back up and just keep walking with the Lord.
That's so true.
Reminds That's me so of that true. Toby
it's
Mac song.
Mm-hmm. Toby Mac song, mm-hmm. What's it called?
When I get back up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get back up
again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anybody have anything else they want to add to this study? To this session. Okay, yeah. It says at the bottom, the Father desires that his Rama word to us results in faith. We believe it, live it, and then experience it in our real lives. And you have a journal entry, do I regularly experience having faith in what he is speaking to me? Why or why not? If you could take time to fill that out and to complete all the scriptures in this session, we will meet you back on the other side. Okay, you're going to see in your workbook on page 30, which is the next page, there's a summary of how this process all works that Richard, the writer of the study, has laid out for you. And I hope you'll take time to read through this, because this is an excellent summary of what we've already covered before we go into our practice together in Ezekiel and abiding. We're getting ready to do our exercise on the next, on the following page. So take some time to read that, and I'll catch you on the other side.